Ivan, just to begin with, if we can start by talking about the political climate in Russia at the moment. Do you feel that's changing, especially in your line of work?
It started to change in 2012. Huge changes, unfortunately, in a bad direction. Before 2012, it was, I didn't feel that we're going in a wrong direction. But since 2012, maybe 2014, it became quite sensitive, And we see, changes brings to the legislation. And of course, in the practice of implementation, and civil society organizations are suffering from it. It's huge changes in relation to the civil society organizations in Russia and from the government. And Russia passed a foreign agent law, which, required to be registered for any NGO, which, has two conditions for it. First, it's foreign funding, and second, political activity. And the term of political activity is absolutely undefinable, And in practice, it means any activity can be defined like political if government, doesn't like it. Many NGO became, including in a foreign agent list, and suffer from it because it's constantly inspections, fines, they trying to, spend resources to defend themselves. And actually, because of this, all of this situation, civil society organizations, many independent civil society organizations just paralyzed. Many just stop their activity. Many just escape and just leave for Russia, even.
What do you think has been the reason for the shift? From 2012, 2014, do you think what's happening in Ukraine has had a part to play in that?
First changes, of course, in 2012 was reason of it was falsification on the during the election in our parliament, and in 2014, yes, it's events in Ukraine. Crimea, war, actually, and this is maybe now I can say it's biggest factor which influenced on the whole situation with the human rights and define a trend direction of the development of my country.
Those situations have caused, some might say, a growing confrontation with the West. Why then does Russia look within itself in terms of its confrontation with the West?
I think that such a situation, it's a good for Putin. It's a reason to raise such a, militaristic mood in a society. Through the propaganda, of course, because all of TV channels belongs to the government and supported by government. And our propaganda works much better than your propaganda.
What can possibly be done in the current political climate to try to shift some of that?
Don't ask a question which nobody knows how to answer, because I don't think that even Putin knows how to find the exit from this situation and to keep a face.
Do you think Putin wants to find an exit?
It depends what do you mean what do you mean about exit? Exit from the confrontation? Maybe not, but exit from the that situation which brings, to normalize state, his position in a, for example, in a international community. Yeah, I think he's interested in it.
You've spoken about this crackdown or this shrinking space for civil society, but in Putin's Russia, it also feels like there's been a crackdown within some government ranks. We've seen some senior figures from the FSB marched out of various offices at different times. Do you feel like there's also a search within government structures for people who perhaps don't agree with government policy?
You know, war time, which we have now, dictates war rules. And of course, when all country, you know, lives with a militaristic trend, militaristic rhetorics, somehow everybody knows who is enemy, who is external enemies, everybody, which around Russia.
Who are Russia's external enemies now?
Oh, you know, United States, its first enemy, Ukraine, and second, and another world, its third enemy.
Does Russia feel that it's at war, not just the government, but Russian people?
I think that most of people, unfortunately, under influence of the propaganda, and they believe that, you know, all world now is against Russia. And they are just victims of the propaganda. And I'm not sure what we can do with this, because, of course, the current regime just supported it constantly, and this trend became more stronger and stronger.
Do you feel like Mr. Putin feels that Russia is at war with the United States?
Of course, he, you know, Putin's quite pragmatical man, and he's wise, and he's long time in the politics. For such a period of time, people became wise, yeah? But at the same time, you know, he's hostage of the situation and of his environment. I don't think that he wants to, you know, to you know, start a war with the United States, for example. Yeah? But he's quite old, and he understands that, you know, he already can do everything. And his environment is also old people, you know, who has everything, and at the same time, there is nothing to lose for them, because they understand that after Putin, they can lose everything. Maybe it's better to lose everything, you know, with the rest of the world.
We saw in the aftermath of the publication of the Steele dossier that there was a crackdown within Russia. Several people were arrested. I believe you represent one of them. Do you feel that those arrests were directly linked to the publication of that dossier?
Yes. Now I participate in one case with you know, one few people accused in a state treason, and unfortunately I cannot discuss a lot about this because of some restriction about, you know, state secret and something like this. You know, I can say that the public opinion about role of the Russia and in involvement in a United States presidential elected, I think it's quite overestimated. I don't think that strong United States election system can be easily break with internet influence of the factory of the trolls, of the, you know, Russian hackers. And I think it's overestimated.
One of the suggestions in the dossier that we're talking about And that was the dossier that was put together by a former British intelligence officer, suggests that Moscow does hold some compromising information about the current US president. And that was part of perhaps a foreign policy strategy to try to affect relationships between those two countries. Do you feel that there may be any legitimacy to the claim that Moscow holds any compromising material over US President Trump?
You know, I work in cases with a national security element. And I can tell you that everybody does it. Everybody spies. Every government, you know, wants to have collect some information, pick some information, legal means, illegal means, doesn't matter. They collect some information, and of course Russia does it, and another country also do it, and it's a behavior. It's not a modern, you know, trend. It's a fact. It's an old fact. Yeah. You know, of course, Russia has something if such a person like a Trump, already known, well-known person who visited Russia before, Russian government collects some information about this person during his visit. I'm not sure what they have, yeah, but pretty sure they have a lot about his visit. Each step was under watch.
When you say you're involved in a case related to one or more individuals that may have participated in some of the information around the Steele dossier, are you able to say how many individuals?
It's a case where more than three individuals. I can tell you more detailed because I have restrictions. More than three, and all of them were arrested in December 2016, and all of them still in a detention center, Lefortovo. All of them accused in a state treason.
And are you representing?
And some of them former officers of the FSB.
And are you representing them all or some of them?
Some of them.
Will we see this case go to trial or is this a case
we'll
that...
We'll see. It's not yet decided.
Would you like to see this case go to trial?
I am not sure that, you know, that it will be, you know, a regular trial because nobody, in this case, nobody interested in a broad coverage of this case. No Russian government, no FSB, and no person who now under accusation.
Do you feel that there are legitimate grounds for any of the charges?
My clients, they're not guilty. It's my belief. That's what I trying to defend.
They've been charged with treason. When we dig into that charge a bit, are we talking about sharing information that they shouldn't have shared? Or something deeper than that?
In this case, I can say that there is it's like iceberg, yeah? There is a part which, you know, above water, and there is a huge part, there is underwater. And nobody wants to show parts with underwater.
Even the people who've been accused?
Even the people who is accused.
Is there a fear that they might be physically or otherwise mistreated while they're in detention because of the nature of what they're being charged with?
I believe that still we don't have a still, you know, situation when they can be, have some problems in a detention center. For such role place, another places, but not in a detention center. So there is a special secret detention centers in Russia. It was recently I wrote an article about it. My colleagues describes very well, but information he got from the client that he was detained and put it in a special place where it was touched and something like this. But it's almost impossible in a real detention centers, official detention centers in Russia. Of course, you know, treatment, sometimes it's not enough medical treatment. And case of Magnitsky told that its conditions with the medical treatment, it's not good enough, very bad actually, in Russian detention centers.
Outside Russian detention centers, be they public detention centers or secret detention centers, do you feel that the Russian government does engage in activities against perceived enemies? And here I'm referring to Sergei Skripal and perhaps other cases that may have taken place over the years where alleged assassinations or attempted assassinations have taken place?
You know, that accusation regards with, terrorism. It's a special rules, I think, and special even unwritten rules about this. And it's possible tortures, pretty sure, because, you know, even in St. Petersburg recently we had a pacts that people who accused in terrorism blame FSB because of tortures. And now it goes some inspection about what's happened. But it's in St. Petersburg. It's a big city. Yeah, such a situation will not be investigated if it will happen, for example, in some Caucasian regions like Chechnya. And of course, this is a huge problem for tortures. Tortures is a problem for Russia now.
There have been also attempted or alleged attempted assassinations, not only of Sergei Skripal, who we've just seen in the UK, but also in the aftermath of the publication of the Steele dossier. There was a senior FSB general, I believe, who was found dead in his black Lexus. Do you believe that the Russian government engages in attempted assassinations or successful assassinations of those it perceives enemies?
You know, there is a unwritten rules in secret services. Just don't live a life traitors. But this rule related to the former employees of the state secret services. And the case with Sergei with Skripal and with Litvinenko, it's just an implementation of these unwritten rules. It can be that there is no order. Order is in the rules. Yeah, somebody just executed. And it's possible to do without any order. It's just such a rules. But I'm pretty sure that such a rules exists not only in Russia. Another country also use the same approach.
Do you feel that Mr. Skripal's case might be related to the case of the men who you're defending?
I don't think so.
Two last very quick questions. One is, do you personally believe that Russia interfered in the US election?
Everybody, you know, trying to interfere, yeah, but it's question not who interfere, but results. Was it, you know, effective interference? I don't think that can be called like effective interfere in an election.
And lastly, in your line of work personally, do you ever fear for your own safety?
Everybody asks me about this question. I am started to think about it a lot too much. I try and don't think about it before. That's first. Secondly, I think that I quite protected professionally. I'm not easy target. Third, there is more accessible target in Russia still. Sometimes we say, you know, life is hard, but fortunately it's short. It helps to keep optimism.